be the happiest people on earth. Amen. Because we're practicing for heaven, because we're certainly going to not have a sad day in heaven today. You know, there's a scripture that says, be instant in season, you know, and out of season, and sometimes when you least expect it, just to pass on. And this is just a little thing for ministers and pastors to be ready. Penny and I went to lunch. We was in two vehicles. She said, I'm going home to get my nails done. And I said, well, I'm going on to the house. So I got home. It was about 1:30. Got a phone call. Actually, Penny called me, said that Jay Collins was trying to get in touch with me. Usually that means a funeral. Somebody has passed. So they called. And actually, Jay is a representative. So he was in Atlanta doing governing stuff. So the director in charge, he got Jay's granddaddy to call me and said, we need a preacher. I said, okay. You know, what, have you made arrangements? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, when's the funeral going to be? He said, at 3 o'clock. And I thought he was kidding because Edwin will do that sometimes. And I said, today? He said, oh, yeah. We need you. And I said, well, you know, and Sister Brenda said, you didn't have time to give an excuse, did you? And that's basic. No, I got to get ready, you know. So, but anyway, we did the funeral. And if you think that funerals are all the same, get with me sometimes and I'll share with you. They're not. They're absolutely not. Because as I was introduced to one of the family members, she turned to the funeral director and she said, I told them I did not want a preacher. And she looked at me and said, no offense. I said, none taken. So all funerals are not alike, honestly. But, you know, the Lord intervened, and her daughter came to my rescue. The granddaughter was really, really sweet and nice. So just to let you know that be ready when you think not. You may be asked to do something. It may not really please everybody. Well, God is good anyway. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Ephesians tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2. I love the book of Ephesians. In fact, it's maybe one of these times we'll just go through the entire book of Ephesians. It is so wonderfully written and so spiritually uplifting. And I know we preach out of it a lot, but there's so much power there, and there's so much instruction there too for the church, as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. But tonight I want to focus on the second chapter, verses 19, 20, 21, and 22, the last four verses of the second chapter of Ephesians. Paul's writing says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, that it's a time to come together tonight, God, to worship you, to learn of your word, God, to exhort your holy name and to lift you up. God, I pray tonight that you would just lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you'd have us to go. We're so thankful for the many blessings. God, we're thankful, Lord, for those who have received prayer. God, I pray that they would continue to be healed and strengthened. Reach out to those who are in need tonight, those who are traveling, God, that you would keep them safe. I pray, God, that you would give us all a hunger, God, to be more about your business and to understand, God, it is all about you. And we'll be so careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. In searching for a title, not that it really needs a title, but a subject matter, I like the words, no more a stranger. No more a stranger. Basically, if you read into that, the Hebrew and Greek definition, it basically means that, and in one place in the Bible says, we have been bought. Amen. Another place it says, we are a peculiar people. Now, a lot of people like to use that word peculiar as in a weird sense. But it's not. If you look at it in the Greek context and you look at it in the Hebrew, it means a chosen people, a people who have been set apart. We're not like the world anymore. We are in the world, but we're not like the world. And the reason is not because that we have made that change in our life. It's because that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because His Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, lives within us. So we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we have become fellow citizens. Now, I want us to think about that fellow citizens tonight. Now, the Apostle Paul here is talking to the church at Ephesus. He's not necessarily preaching a revival message. He's preaching to the church. And how many knows that even though we've been saved for many, many years, we still need to hear the Word of God. We still need to understand the Word of God, and we need to still apply the Word of God to our lives. And there's a very, very wonderful subject matter that is in the context of this particular four verses. And it's all about unity, and the unity of the Spirit, but also the unity of brothers and sisters in Christ. If there ever was a time that the church needed to band together, it's certainly the day and hour that we're living in. We don't have time for little petty issues. Don't sweat the small stuff. When you get a group of people, understand you're never going to get a group of people completely to see eye to eye on everything. Everybody's going to have an opinion. But the one thing we cannot vary from, the one thing we cannot differ from, is the Word of God. The Word of God is true. It hadn't been changed. It hadn't been modernized. It hadn't been conveniently written for or changed for our purpose. But the Word of God is true. And as fellow citizens, that means more. And I hope to bring this out tonight. It means more of a binding together, so much so that we are, the Bible says, the body of Christ and the building of Christ. And you think about building something, if you can't just throw it up without all the pieces there. And I want that to kind of seep into us tonight, because it does take several different pieces, several different materials to make a building. You can't just make a building with all 2x4s. I'm not a carpenter, but I know that can't be done. You got to have brick and mortar. You got to have shingles. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to have nails. You got to have all of that. And some of the things are not even seen after the building has been completed. And that's a wonderful story or a wonderful concept in itself. You know, when the building is fitly framed, you don't pick out the individual things of that. You look at the building as a whole. Now, let's look at that spiritually. It's not that we want the outside world to see us individually. That's not what it's about. It's not to put on a show for them. It's not to say how holy we are, how righteous we are, but it's to look at the body of Christ as a whole and say that body of Christ fits together. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. There's something to be said about fitting together, because once you become disjointed, once you become separated, then the building is no more intact. So that's what we're talking about spiritually. So let's look at this. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay, what would you agree with me that the most important thing of any building is the foundation? Yes. Okay, because we can throw up any kind of building. We can use the best material in the world. We can have the best wood. We can have all the things. But if we don't have a solid and a firm foundation, it doesn't matter how good the building is built, sooner or later, it's going to begin to crumble. It's going to begin to tear apart because it's not built on a solid foundation. Jesus used the parable himself of the wise man who built upon a rock, and then he called the foolish man who built upon the sand. And I would imagine probably both structures were adequately built, but one was built without a solid foundation. Then he says the rains came and the storms came and the winds blew, and the house on the sand, you know, it was demolished. It fell flat. So it doesn't matter what it looks like above if it's not built on a solid foundation. And he goes on to tell us that solid foundation is not just any foundation. The foundation on which we are built, the foundation on which the church stands, the foundation on which the body of Christ is cemented in, is Jesus Christ. That's what he goes ahead and tells us, that it's Jesus Christ himself being also the chief cornerstone. And if you remember in Old Testament times, and if you've read any of the building and all, a lot of times the structures would go up and they would build an arch, or they would build something here. But the chief cornerstone was the thing that held it together. Because understand that things were put up a little different then than what we are today. They didn't have the materials that we did today. But if that chief cornerstone wasn't in the middle, and it wasn't the right stone, then, you know, after years of wear and tear, the building would begin to fall. But the chief cornerstone is what gave the building its strength. We know today that we don't just build on our ideology. We don't just build on our opinion. We don't just build on our righteousness, because the Bible says our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. That means it's not very good. But the righteousness of God that is within us. So we need that firm foundation, and we also need Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone. Then he says, in whom all the building fitly framed together. And I want us to talk about that just a little bit at length tonight. Fitly framed together, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now we just spoke right up here in verse number 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers. Okay? Now because of the conversion, because of the transformation of our life from a life of a sinful nature to a life of being born again and having Jesus Christ living within us and being submissive and obedient unto His will, we have changed our entire nature. The Bible says old things have passed away, all things have become new. We are a new creation. We are a new creature in Christ. Now, we may look the same. We may have the same identity, but there has been a change. Would you agree with that? Amen. When you come to Christ, there is definitely a change in your life. It'll make you ride down the road, and all of a sudden, even when you're working, remember something that the Lord has laid on your heart, and it'll make you just want to glorify and praise Him and thank Him. That's the wonderful thing about a relationship with Jesus Christ. But understand that because that we're no longer strangers, we are now been equipped and fortified and made ready to fit in the building. Okay? Not the building, not the structural building here, but the spiritual building of Christ. Now, a lot of us and a lot of people that I talk to today, so many people feel themselves unworthy. I can't do a position in church. I can't do a speaking part. I can't do anything associated with talent. I can't do anything with saying. That may be true if you were still a stranger. Okay, but you're no longer a stranger. Amen. And don't let anybody tell you you don't have a place in the building of Christ. If you've been born again, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner. You're no longer an outsider. So that in itself ought to build our spiritual. Now, understand what I'm about to say. Not our natural, but our spiritual self-confidence. Okay? And I really don't like to use the word self. Our spiritual confidence. Because our confidence is not really in ourselves, but it's in Christ. So even though we were unworthy when we were strangers and foreigners, listen to this, we've been made worthy by the blood of Christ. Yes. Worthy to be a working, vital part in the body of Christ. Now, we may not know exactly where we fit in. Have you ever heard anybody say, you know, I'd love to be doing something for the Lord, but I really don't know what I want to do. I found out that we don't usually pick and choose what we want to do. Because the Lord, being that master builder, takes us and puts us in the place that He wants us to be. He knows where we can fit better in that building or that spiritual building, because it needs to be fitly framed. And I like that word, fitly framed, not just framed. Now, I can frame up a structure and probably it would never, not probably, absolutely it would never ever pass inspection. I'm not a carpenter. I know it wouldn't. It might get me by, but it would not pass inspection. But someone who knows how to read all of the dimensions and the measurements and know how to keep it square and all of that stuff, it is fitly framed together. And think about that as the body of Christ. Now, if you're only thinking about First Pentecostal Church, then you're missing the entire point. Because the First Pentecostal Church is not the entire building of Christ. Don't get disappointed because we just see a few people in church or a few people come to worship and praise the Lord. We're part of a much bigger picture. Amen. We're part of the building of Christ. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to have that confidence in Christ and understand that, yeah, fleshly we're unworthy, but spiritually we're worthy to be a part of the making of a beautiful building, spiritual building, the family of God. We're in there somewhere. We fit in there because God has chosen us. We're a peculiar people, a chosen people. We've been set apart. Understand that we're no longer strangers. And I thought, you know, as wonderful as that sounds, then we ought to practice that in their congregation. We are brothers and sisters. Don't just call a brother or sister one just because it's habit or that's the way we do things. When you're talking to a brother and sister, you're talking to a fellow citizen of the gospel of Christ. You're talking to someone who's no longer a stranger or a foreigner, but has been born again just like you've been born again. One that you can count on. One that should be your friend. One that should be your prayer warrior. One that should lift you up and encourage you. One that will be fitly joined together. You know what that means? That means when the structure here is taking a lot of abuse, this one that's fitly joined together can make it stronger. Amen? Because you're, and it also means this. When you're in a battle, you're not in a battle by yourself because you're fitly joined together with fellow citizens, brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we can understand that, we can be such a help to one another, such a strength to one another. But it has to be fitly framed. Amen? We can't just throw it up. We can't just start saying this, that, and the other, and that goes there, and this goes here, and that goes there. We have to be led by the Spirit of God, because God knows exactly how to make the building join together. In whom all the building. Can you imagine, and I know we've had some Holy Ghost-filled services, but can you imagine if all the building came in at one time, and everybody's mind was on God, and everybody's mind was on worship and praise, and we've done forgot about our issues, we done forgot about being sick, we done forgot about all of those things, and we came together in the tabernacle or into the sanctuary or into the presence of God, fitly joined together for the purpose of glorifying and praising Him. I will assure you, we probably wouldn't even get through the first song because everybody would be glorifying and praising God because they realize that we are part, amen, of a wonderful, wonderful picture. And that picture is the body of Christ or the building of Christ, as the Apostle Paul used it here in his analogy. In whom ye also are builded. What is that word? If we don't take anything else from this study tonight, if we don't remember anything else that Brother Eddie said, I want us to remember that we are together. We are together in the good times. We are together in the bad times. We are together through sadness. We are together certainly through joy. We should be together every time we enter into this church. When we say, let us all be in one mind and one accord, what are we saying? We're here for the same purpose. We're here for the same reason. We need to be together, not just physically. You know, we can be physically together and emotionally separated, spiritually separated. And it's very difficult for the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to work when there's separation there. But you get everybody together and one mind and one accord. Everybody pulling the same way. You know, everybody got their shoulder to the wheel and everybody begins to push in the same way. Spiritually speaking, God will move and God will He'll honor that type of praise and He'll honor that type of worship. So in whom ye are also builded together for what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. Habitation, what is that? Place of dwelling, place where we live. Amen. When people say, where do you live? I live in the body of Christ. You know, not just stay in the body of Christ, but I live in the body of Christ. Amen. I live to worship God. I live to praise Him. He is the greatest, greatest deity that there ever could be, because His love is immaculate. His love is beyond my ability to even comprehend or fathom, because He loved us so much. Jesus loved us when He was on the cross. He didn't have to. He didn't have to stay on that cross. He could have come down. But His love for us was so great that He wanted to see His children together. His children loving one another, supporting one another, being there for one another, worshiping together. Nothing is more sweeter than a congregation that gathers together and begins to worship. Amen. Not looking around to see what somebody else is doing, not speaking or talking during the presence of the mighty Spirit of God, but being together, jointly and fitly framed together so that God will get the honor and God will get the glory for a habitation of God. I thought about the tabernacle that Solomon built, and there was so much preparation and there was so much put into that. Even David was even getting ready for this great tabernacle, even though God would not allow David to build it because he was a warring king and had shed so much blood. But the descendant, his son Solomon, God laid it upon his heart to build that temple. And if you read about it, that temple was immaculate. There was so much riches and things brought into the construction of that temple. And then the furniture, all of those things, the vessels of gold and silver and all of that that David had and getting ready for the preparation. And I thought about that. And I thought about the preparation of God's building. No, it's not gold, and no, it's not wood, and it's not mortar, but it's more beautiful than any of those things. But the thing about it, when everything was in place, the Spirit of God came into that building. I can almost feel chills now. In fact, I can feel chills just thinking about that. Because they had done their very best. They had built everything according to the Word of God. Everything was in place. The priests were there. They were marching in. They were playing the instruments. And the priest could not even stand to minister. Think about that. They could not even stand to read the scripture. They could not even stand to make the presentation because the power of God filled that tabernacle, filled it completely from every corner, every pew, every whatever the situation was, every part of that, the power of God was so real. Church, God will still do that today. God will still come in and overwhelm a congregation, but we got to be fitly framed. We got to be spiritually together. We got to be supportive of one another, lifting one another up, helping one another up, praying one for another. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourself together, but also he ends that with praying ye one for another. When anyone gets up here to sing, the entire congregation ought to be praying for that person who's singing. If they're speaking the word of God, if they're testifying, if they're ministering, whatever the case may be, every person, every fellow citizen, everyone that's born again ought to be praying for that person to be successful, to be blessed of God, and in so, it blesses the entire church. It blesses the whole building. So we stand together, amen, stand united, praying one for another, lifting one another up, upholding one another up, as the Bible said. Now, after saying all of that, I want to go back and read these four verses again. And I want us to kind of just let it sink in what the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Ephesus there and the analogy that he's using. He says now, okay? How many's glad that it's now and not like it used to be? I mean, he's glad. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. Thank God. Thank God for the now. Thank God that God saw something in me and he drew me to an altar of repentance and he filled me with his wonderful Spirit. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Think about strangers and foreigners. Let me just ask you, have you ever been to a place or a situation or a gathering where you felt totally out of place? Maybe you didn't know anybody. Maybe you got an invitation and the person that invited you is not even there and you walk into this strange place. Isn't that an uncomfortable feeling? Is it? It is to me. Like I said, I've done funerals. I was uncomfortable today at that particular funeral until I finally saw somebody that I knew there. But the reason is we feel that they're a stranger. We feel like we don't belong. We feel like we're not a part of that. But Paul says, don't feel like that anymore. Now, can we use that particular passage of Scripture to encourage a new convert? Because let me tell you what a new convert, so many times, even though they've been born again, they still feel like, I don't really fit in. Because some of them people have been saved for 30 or 40 years. Do you know what? You can tell the convert, you're just as saved as they are. You're just as precious in God's sight as they are. Because you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner. You know, in fact, you're a fellow citizen. You're a brother or sister in Christ. I think sometimes we fail to convey that We may say it, but we don't really follow it up like we ought to when we have new converts or when we have new people coming to the church. You're no longer a stranger. We don't want you to be a stranger. We want you to feel love. And if they feel love, what are they going to feel? Because the Bible says God is love. Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody come in and visited our church and left and said, that was the coldest, terriblest place. You know, we just didn't feel like anybody appreciated anything. We don't need that. No, you're no longer strangers. We don't. And you know what I used to tell people when they come back the second time? I said, you know, you're automatically a member now. And it got them to laughing. And you know, said, you know, that's how much we appreciate you being here with us. You know, you come once, that's great. You come twice, you're a member. And they get a big kick out of that and laugh. But you know what? It breaks the ice. It lets them know that's not in a strange place. They should never come into a house of God and feel like it's a strange situation or feel out of place. And probably we've all been in situations like that. But Paul said, no, you're no longer that. You're no longer one that's lost in the world. You've been born again. Christ now lives in your body. You're just as saved as you are. You're just as precious in God's sight as the Apostle Paul was. So you're no longer strangers and foreign citizens, but I've got underlined here, but fellow citizens. Amen. You know what that means? Equality. Fellow citizens. The benefits for you is just the same as it is for anybody. The wonderful story we have is the parable where there was people that went to work for a certain amount of money and they worked all day long. Then they still needed people to come in and work in the vineyards. So the people showed up in the 11th hour, I mean like almost the end of the working time. And they gave them the same amount of money, the same amount of pay, if those had worked all day long. Now do you think that sat well with those who had worked all day long? No, not a bit. Because it's not fair. You have given them the same amount and we've been here all that time. If that type of spirit sneaks into the church, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a real problem because we got to understand we may have been a member for 50 years, but we're no more important than that brand new convert that comes into our service, our congregation. They're just as welcome, and we need to let them know you're no more a stranger. You're no more a foreigner, but you have become a fellow citizen with the saints, with the saints. Okay? I love this because everything talks about the joining together and the strength of being united. Amen. United. There's a reason America is called the United States of America. I know there's squabbles and I know this and that and the other. But it was designed that the states could run their own states. But when it came to protection, when it came to all of these other things, we were united. Amen. And under that governing place in Washington. Sometimes we wish we wasn't, but it is what it is. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Do you know the importance of that? Because one place in the Bible says, though an angel come preaching or teaching anything other than what the apostles taught, let him be a lie. So, how can we deny if Christ has sanctioned what the apostles taught and Christ has ordained what the apostles preached, how can we come in and try to differ from that? We can't because that's that solid foundation that will stand against against time, against anything, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We always got to understand that there is a head and Jesus Christ is the head, okay? He's the head of the body. When we're talking about body, we're talking about all born-again believers. That's the reason that you should have a kindred spirit and a like spirit and a same spirit, somebody who's not even a part of this congregation, as long as they're in the body of Christ. Okay? That's the most important thing. Let's don't think that we're trying to get everybody to be a member of First Pentecostal Church. We're trying to get everybody to be a member of God's body. Amen? That's the most important thing because I don't believe, I don't have scripture to back it up, and I certainly don't have any ideas that when we get to heaven, God's going to want to take want me to take the roll book and show him the roll book. I don't think that's what it's about. So it's not about joining churches. It's about being fitly framed in the building of God. Amen? The building of God. And that's a spiritual building. And I love this. In whom all the building, every piece, every joint, every corner, every part of it is fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. I have read that. I've got it highlighted. I know I preached on this. But when I was reading that this week, I got such a wonderful and warm feeling of that when it says fitly framed. Because there is some preciseness when God does it, okay? In other words, when God places us, think about this, where He wants us to be, then that's where we need to be. Okay? We don't need to look around and say, I wish He'd have put me on this corner, or I wish He'd have put me there. But He has made it fitly framed together. And that way it's not out of joint, out of sorts. And I read that and I said, Lord, let me never complain. Let me never say, Lord, why did you call me to do this? Because God knows what He's doing, okay? And He's put us exactly where He wants us to be in the body of Christ as fellow citizens. Groweth together unto a holy temple in the Lord. And again, in whom ye also are builded. Love this word, together. Say that with me tonight, together. Brothers and sisters, we are together, okay? We're together in worship. But you understand, when we leave this building, we go to our separate places. We're still together. We're still together. I love the text. I love the prayer request. I love the brotherhood that says nothing more than simply need prayer and we'll get back on a group text. Got you back. Praying now. That's all that has to be said, because we know that we're fitly joined together. And we know that we don't have to go in any great detail about what needs to be done. Simply need your prayer. Get a text. Return back. Brother, got you back. Praying now. That means so much, because that means that we're firmly together, builded together, framed together, and builded for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Thank God for His Spirit. Amen. Thank God for His Comforter. Thank God that He cared enough, amen, to let us know that even when we face adversity, we're not alone. Never alone with Christ, but it means something too to understand that we're joined together. A holy habitation, amen, for God. God bless you tonight. We love you so much. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I believe we have a flyer, Sister Lori, and we'll explain the flyer. If you want to give me a copy and maybe pass them out or...